Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It's a new day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, does it? His mercies are new every morning, afternoon, and evening. Now, as you know, if you've been with us, we have before us 10 facts about Jesus Christ that are written about within just 3 of John's 20 verses in Revelation 1. These 10 facts are in verses 5, 6, and 7. I will not repeat all 10 right now, but what I want to do is to read Revelation 1, verses 5 through 7, and then I will highlight facts 9 and 10 and discuss those. Tomorrow, we're going on to verses 8 and following, so we can get over to verse 12 as quickly and effectively as possible. Here now is God's word to us this Tuesday. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Well, amen indeed. We have dealt with facts 1 through 8 already, and a bit of time on the fact that Jesus is coming again. And we spoke extensively about his second coming. Today we learned that every eye will see Jesus, even those who pierced him. That is fact number 9. What does this mean? The Bible means exactly what it says, and this sentence clearly says that at the time of Jesus' second coming, literally every human eye will see him. The whole world will see the glorified Jesus. He will be here in his exalted being. And then the Apostle John writes specifically about even those who pierced him. And we might be tempted to think this means the actual Roman soldiers who nailed the incarnate Christ to the cross on the day of his death at Calvary. Actually, the Romans are not in view here, but some of the Jewish people are. It is the clear testimony of the Bible that some of the Jewish people are, in part, responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. His crucifixion was partly their responsibility. Now, of course, as we talked about when we learned that Jesus loves us and demonstrates this love by dying for our sins on the cross, all sinners are responsible for Christ's death in the sense that if we had not sinned, he would not have had to die. But when God directs our attention to who killed the Lord Jesus on that dark day in the first century, this falls at the feet of the Jewish religious rulers. And let me prove this to you from Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. These are the words of Peter, who was Jewish and a disciple and apostle of Jesus. Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. As you've just heard, Peter holds his fellow Jews accountable for piercing, for crucifying Jesus. He says, men of Israel. The Israelites are Jews. He says, you nailed to a cross. You, and Peter's audience are the Jews. Read Acts chapter 2. So the Jewish people who pierce the Lord will, at the second coming, see Christ. That is what John is saying in Revelation 1:7 and our fact number 9. And this brings us finally to fact number 10. The tribes of the earth will mourn over Jesus. And we ask, who are these tribes of the earth who will mourn over him? That's a very good question. It's always right to ask good questions of the biblical text. This is what helps us to learn what the Bible means by what the Bible says. And here the focus shifts away from the Jews to the Gentiles, everyone who is not Jewish. So just in case you unbelieving Gentiles were feeling like you're off the hook for the death of the Lord, you are not. And here the mourning does not come as the result of being sorry for the crucifixion of the Lord. This is not what we would call genuine repentance, but rather terror, horror, that Christ will then condemn them for their unbelief, for their outright refusal to invest sincere faith in the Lord Jesus because of a genuine sorrow for their sins. You see, every person who is not a Christian, well, there comes a day of judgment, and the second coming manifests the wrath of God on unrepented sin. Gentiles who are not Christians do not like to think about this. They deny it and continue to indulge in that which deeply offends the living God. Bold, unrighteous living. But the fact, I mean the deadly reality, is that judgment is coming. The wrath of God is real. And yet when you read on in the Revelation, you'll read about how even when it becomes clear that condemnation is near, people will still not repent of their sin. Here's just one text to consider, Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. This is Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. If you will read that verse in the context of chapter 9 this evening, you will see how obstinate sinners are, so in love with their transgressions that they will cling to them until the end, straight into an eternal hell. The tribes of the earth, the Gentiles, will mourn over Jesus, but only in the sense that they are doomed, and at that time they will know it. Facts 9 and 10 about the Lord Jesus Christ go together, and they are very sobering. Every eye is going to see Jesus, and you can either see him as your loving Lord who has forgiven you totally of your sin against him, or you can see him as your judge who is going to condemn you because your sins remain unforgiven since you did not trust Jesus to remove it from you. You rejected him when he called to you. You reap what you have sown. This is biblical. So I ask you today, what have you sown? Have you sown faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins? Or have you sown corruption of the soul through denying Jesus as your Savior from sin? Which is it? There are only two choices, and these are the choices God gives to all of us. I'm just the messenger right now. This is God's message. I give it to you as clearly as the English language allows me to. I'm reading it to you from right out of the Bible, and perhaps you have heard this before. Well, then I humbly invite you to accept this to be true, and my sincere prayer is that you will choose for Christ and no longer against him. It's not too late to believe in him now, to ask him to forgive you, but it soon will be. So repentance today. I believe this is how we apply what we have read in today's text. Verse 7 of Revelation 1 then ends like this. So it is to be. Amen. Simply put, these are the Apostle John's words of affirmation. They are strong words in two languages. The so it is to be is Greek, and the Amen is Hebrew. When we take the 10 facts that are true about the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 1 verses 5 through 7 that we have studied together, we affirm with the apostle that yes, indeed. So it is to be. Amen. This is who Jesus is. Well, I certainly hope, and I have prayed, that you get the picture. This is a rich chapter. It's like sending your fork down through the center of a chocolate cake and then biting into the piece that's thick and sweet. You cannot eat that kind of cake too quickly. It needs to be savored. Maybe you eat one third and put the rest away for later when you can come back to it. Revelation 1 is like that. It's a lot to digest, and it is sweet to the soul. But it's only sweet if you believe it and obey it. If you reject Jesus Christ, then this is a bitter-tasting book. Very bitter. You probably want to spit it out. Many people try to reinvent Jesus because they do not like the biblical testimony of who he is. Or they generally favor the meek Jesus of some portions of the Gospels, but certainly stiffen when it's reported here by John's heavenly vision that Jesus Christ is returning. He is coming again in judgment on the unrepentant sinner. But the Bible discloses Jesus in all his glory, for the totality of who he is. For now, we are finished with our 10 facts. I hope these have been as transformative for you as they have been for me. I have loved studying this section of this chapter. And remember, if you have missed any of the broadcasts, you can download them today as a podcast and listen, or listen again. Just go to godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org, and get the podcast on the homepage. And then be sure and come back tomorrow. You might even want to invite a friend or a family member to join us. There is so much more for us to discover, and we do so because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.